Welcome back to the Eye Test, ladies and gentlemen. I'm here with my co-host Dylan Godina on a splendid Thursday afternoon. Dylan, how are you feeling?
Feeling pretty tired, honestly. Long week, but closer to Saturday, I guess. A lot of great games last week. I'm excited to break those down.
It's been a long week for all of us, hasn't it been? But not as long of a week as it's been for the Tennessee Volunteers. We went down at home in Neyland Stadium, a brutal field goal miss sends the game into overtime, where the Bulldogs take care of it. Initial thoughts.
I mean, Tennessee, you did say last week that Tennessee fans would be
Let
gone.
me make that point. You talk about the game.
All right. Yeah, no, Tennessee had a really good chance to win this game. I mean, their kicker, Max Gilbert, missed a 43-yarder, which is seconds remaining. Gunnar Stockton actually looked really impressive in his first road start, came up big in the big moments, like that fourth and seven pass to London Humphreys, just huge. And, I mean, it's nine straight for the Georgia Bulldogs over Tennessee. I mean, Kirby Smart, I think he's just head and shoulders above any other coach right now in college football, just when it comes to game planning, rallying his team. But yeah, really, really impressive win for the Bulldogs.
Yeah, I gotta agree on that point. Gunnar Stockton really impressed me. I said he would come out and play, and he did. To address the elephant in the room, I did talk about how Georgia minus 3.5 is a super bet of the year, but I would like to point out that they should have covered. Like, they technically did cover if they kick the extra, like, they don't kick the extra points in overtime, but if they did, like, they scored enough points to cover technically. Like, they just didn't give them the extra point, That's just how overtime in college football works. But, like, technically the read was correct because they would have covered.
But your read was that the Tennessee fans would be gone at half.
Okay, that was it, like, my lock. Like, I just said that Georgia was gonna cover 3.5. I just thought, Aguilar, another impressive showing. Including me, he's starting to overcome the doubters. He might be the real deal, but nonetheless, the Bulldogs get it done, and Tennessee's on the outside looking in on the in the SEC in the SEC picture right now. That's all that matters.
I mean, yeah.
Moving on to the next game. We'll do this one first. We'll do Florida 10, LSU 20. Kind of a little bit of a disappointing game from LSU, but Florida showed their defensive prowess. You saw the talent that they have. DJ Lagway, five interceptions, just looked lost out there. While I do think a lot of that is the play calling. They need to be Florida needs to be running the ball more. I don't know why they're not. Their running backs have put up pretty good numbers, and you have to stick with the run for it to work. They're just letting DJ Lago just go out there and do whatever. Like, it's like they're playing college football.
Yeah, no. Throwing five interceptions, especially on the road, I mean, that's just gonna cost you games straight up. And LSU's offense was very unimpressive in this one, but they were good enough. I mean, one of the picks was a pick six. This game was pretty close. I mean, like Florida would be gaining yards on drives, and then it's just the turnovers. But I'd be pretty concerned if I was Brian Kelly. And LSU, honestly, with that offense, because I mean, 20 points with your defense, getting five interceptions—that's not too good.
That week one Clemson win looks worse and worse every week. We'll get to them later, but Clemson obviously lost to Georgia Tech, and Florida lost to South Florida, who just got pounced by Miami, and LSU kind of struggled with them a little bit. So I don't know. It's kind of turning into a bit of a chaos season. It's kind of hard to see, who the truly, truly elite teams are. Speaking of that, though, Texas A&M, big upset win in South Bend, 41-40 with an awesome play at the end of the game to take the lead and get the win by 1 point. I thought both teams played pretty well. We somewhat predicted this game pretty well. Like, we thought the run game was going to take over. It was We did say it was going to be more slow pace because of that, but it was just, they were just breaking off huge runs. Obviously, both quarterbacks had big numbers in the passing yards category. Both were pretty inaccurate. I'm pretty sure Marcel Reed was something like 21 of 45, but he had like 360 yards. So really fun game to watch. I thought Notre Dame should have won it. I thought Marcus Freeman could have coached better down the stretch to help them seal it. That being said, though, huge, huge win for A&M.
Yeah, this was their first ranked road win since 2014. First win, 13 game losing streak to ranked opponents on the road. Their first top 10, first win over a top 10 opponent since 2014. And no, I think, I mean, Notre Dame, they had that botched extra point late in the fourth quarter that really cost them. This game probably should have gone to overtime. And Notre Dame just gave up huge plays. Their secondary is just giving up huge chunk plays. And I really don't know if like what to take away from this game when it goes to A&M because they had a lot of penalties. They weren't really playing the cleanest game either. And their defense was playing pretty poorly as well. And they're also there's just a huge reliance on chunk plays. I feel like they couldn't really get like just a grind it out 15 play series and score. Like all of their scoring drives were just a massive 60-yard play, and then they'd punch it in. So, but yeah, like there's just a lot of question marks from both teams from this game, and the Fighting Irish, man, they're 0-2.
Yeah, I 100% agree with all of that. The Notre Dame secondary, no question, has regressed immensely. They're not going to be what we thought they were going to be. A&M, the tackling issues continue. Same in the Notre Dame side. Bigger picture, Notre Dame's 0-2 now. They don't really have the down the rest of the schedule. They don't really have a signature win that they'll be able to hang their hat on. So, they lost their two biggest games of the season. Unfortunately, they were the first two, but that's just how it goes. So they're like, it kind of sucks, but it's crazy. You've only played two games and it feels like you're out of the playoff already. We'll see what happens, but it's not looking good at all. On the A&M side, I agree with a lot of what you said. They relied a lot on chunk plays. I don't think the Notre Dame defense played as well as they should have. Reuben Owens, he had a great season last year with Le'Veon Moss injured. He's kind of just, I think he got three snaps for 5 yards or three carries for 5 yards. Not really in the offensive picture as much as I thought he would be. I don't know. I want to see how this A&M offense looks against a real defense. I'm not saying Notre Dame's not a real defense, against
A
a
good
better,
deal.
more well-rounded defense also.
I get what you're saying.
All right, yeah. Moving on. Clemson goes down at Georgia Tech. Same issues persist. O-line, uncharacteristic miscues, missing assignments. Cade Klubnik just underwhelming. Haynes King was awesome. One of the greatest shots we'll have all season. As I don't know if you saw, but Haynes King and Georgia Tech coach just embrace, and then they like zoom out, and just all the fans are on the field. So that was awesome.
Yeah, no, that was an awesome game overall in that rivalry. Georgia Tech's kicker, Aiden Burr, it's a 55-yarder to win it. That was the longest field goal in Georgia Tech history. It's pretty crazy. But yeah, man, I'm pretty sure I picked this game completely right. I think I picked Georgia Tech to win. So yeah, a little pat on my shoulder right there. But Haynes King, man, like he's just a baller. He's just grind. Like he added over 100 yards on the ground against Clemson.
Might
And
not be pretty, but he gets the job done.
Cade Klubnik, he shows potential in plays. He has a big play potential, but it's boom or bust with him, I feel like. He's either making a crazy throw, crazy run. He had like over 60 yards on the ground in this one.
Yeah,
But
and the problem, it's been like that for 3 years, though.
exactly. And it's just turnovers. I mean, he had a key fumble, interception. He's missing wide open short throws. It's just a lot of question marks with that Clemson team right now.
Yeah, and I argue for the second time this season, Dabo got outcoached. Obviously they have one of the most talented rosters in the country, and have just fallen so short of expectations. It's unbelievable. Going into that though, Dabo had some pretty interesting comments, in his press conference. It seemed like I don't hear Clemson fans calling for his job, but I don't know if there's some sort of internal pressure he's feeling or someone said something to him. Like, while all the things he said are true, like he's established a certain standard at Clemson. So he can't be like, oh, I did this, I did that. Fans want continued success, and I don't know, like his stubbornness has been the death of him. And I don't know, this might be the death of Clemson. Not the death of Clemson, but I think this is the last run of these elite Dabo teams that we're going to see.
Yeah, I mean, I have mixed feelings about that because I completely get what he's saying. Like, I do think if Dabo went somewhere else, he would be successful. Say hypothetically, they did fire him, he would be successful. And him being like, we won 8 out of the last 10 ACC championships, like that really shut up the reporter pretty quick. But yeah, I mean, it's just been a really disappointing season so far. But the season's not over. I mean, they could turn it around, win the ACC. There's just a lot of question marks with that team right now. A lot of inconsistency. They show flashes. It's just the consistency overall is just not there.
Well, to what you just said, the reporter didn't even ask about that. The reporter asked like what kind of offensive scheme have you been like adjusting the last 2 weeks? And then he just like crashed out and went into a rant. Like it was crazy. It's like he wanted to say that, and was looking hunting for a question about it, and he didn't get it. I don't know. Like this, it's not like this Clemson team is like young and developing. Like that was what their thing was, is that they're bringing the same unit back. They're all super experienced. So, like, they're going to lose a lot of guys in the O-line. They're going to lose a lot of guys in the secondary. Their three best defensive players are going to the draft next year. They're losing, like, 80% of their O-line. Cade Klubnik's leaving as well. I don't really know what the state of this Clemson program is going to be in 2 years. We will see. Heading into that, though, with all these crazy games, we're seeing a lot of really weird results. Dylan, could we be in the midst of a chaos season?
I think we are. I think we are. It's starting to feel like 2007 a little bit. All these top teams are dropping games early. They're either dropping games, and the teams that are winning, they're not looking great in any of their wins. There hasn't really been one team that's just like, oh damn, like they're legit. Like Ohio State maybe, but like they, I don't know. I don't really know how to feel about Ohio State. They're probably the best looking team so far. But no, I think chaos is looming. I think that there's going to be a surprising team in the top five by the end of the season.
Who might that team be?
I don't know, man. I could see maybe A&M, maybe Texas Tech, maybe I don't know. I honestly have no idea. It's too early to say anything.
Yeah, I mean, like when it shakes out, I mean, Florida State and Miami and the ACC, that's going to be big thing. I'm guessing one of those teams is going to be 11-1 or possibly 12-0 by the end of the year. Same thing with, but the Big Ten, I'm really interested, the because right now, like the mid tiers in the top 25 are all kind of beating up on each other. Like once you get at past 11, like it's kind of a mix. Like anyone could be ranked. You can make a case for so many different teams to be ranked right now. We'll see. I can't wait. I can't wait to see what we're looking at in like week 8, week 9, like what the discussions are going to be. But yeah, like I have no projection for how the season's going to go.
Yeah, I'm pumped up though. I mean, seasons like this are what make college football so exciting. So
100%. And like I feel like teams aren't really like establishing identities. Like maybe because, especially this season of all other seasons, so many general preseason narratives have been incorrect. It's like no one's able to build up on like their identity that was kind of shaping in the preseason. Like you kind of just every team you're just not too sure about. Like LSU cannot be not be that great, especially like what we're seeing from Clemson. Florida's looked terrible and they kind of struggled at home against them. I don't know, we'll see. All right. Following that, we're gonna head in to our Saturday preview. We're gonna talk about a team Dylan just mentioned, Texas Tech at Utah. Utah's favored by 2.5. I'm really, really. This is 11 a.m. kickoff Central Time. I'm really, really excited for this game. I think the winner of this game, Iowa State, yeah, they're 4-0, but they struggled against a pretty bad team last week. I think the winner of this game should be the Big 12, the favorites to be winning the Big 12. But don't.
Yeah, definitely. I honestly think that this is going to be the Big 12 championship game. I think they're going to have a rematch later in the season. Texas Tech has looked really good so far. They're 3-0. They haven't really played anyone, but they've been dominant. But they're playing in a really underrated home environment in Rice-Eccles Stadium at Utah. And I lean Utah to win and cover here. I just think that Texas Tech's offense, they haven't really been tested. And them being at Utah plays a huge component in my choice. And I really like Utah's just overall more balanced attack rather than Texas Tech's to win this one.
Yeah, I agree a lot. I also lean Utah as well. I'm not even lean, like I think they will win. I think they will cover. I don't think it's going to be a it should probably still be a one score game. But I defense and the experience of Kyle Whittingham, this is 21st season there. And Utah, last 2 years with Cam Rising being in and out, Devin Dampier has been awesome this season, and their offense has looked better than it has in 4 years. Like you mentioned, they have a really balanced attack, which I like. On the Texas Tech side, though, their run defense could provide a challenge. If they're able to stop the Utah run game, Dampier is gonna have to make a lot of plays. And this Texas Tech defense has been, again, like you said, they haven't played a lot of teams, but they've been pretty feisty this year. And Baron Morton, Texas Tech's quarterback, has also been awesome. But I trust the Kyle Whittingham defense. At home, I agree with you. Give me the Utes.
I will
Our next
say,
game,
hold on, let me
SMU
say one
at
more.
TCU. Oh, sorry.
Let me say one more thing about that game. I feel like if Texas Tech can force a bunch of passing downs and just generate pressure overall on Utah, I could see this game flipping like that. But
I do
yeah.
agree. If
Oh.
they turn into a fast-paced game, I think Utah will be able to hang for a while, but not the whole way. And
Yeah.
Tech could pull away in the fourth quarter. But yeah. I forgot what the name of this rivalry is called, but they haven't played in a long time. But SMU is going to TCU this weekend. TCU, 6.5 point favorites. Before I even looked, I was like, whatever it is, I'm going to take the over on this game. Like, this is going to be the most fun game of the year. I looked and it was 66, so I don't know about that. But yeah, the over under 66. It should be a super high flying offensive game. Expect Kevin Jennings to just to do whatever. Anything could be happening in this game with him. Josh Hoover, also expect him to pop off as well. The only thing I'll say, the TCU running back might be out. I think he's questionable as of right now. And that could be a big factor. And then in terms of Jennings, we've talked about all year, he doesn't have the consistency now. Like he's a big time playmaker, but he doesn't have the consistency. And TCU's got a pretty good run defense, so I'm worried he won't have that stability with him.
Yeah. I mean, I'm gonna go TCU in this one. I like TCU to win and cover. Home field matters, especially in rivalry games. And this game's a huge deal up in the DFW area. TCU fans and SMU fans, they don't joke around about this rivalry. TCU's just looked like the more solid team overall. SMU, they look like defensively they have some holes that they need to fill. And I think that Texas TCU's offense has just looked too efficient overall for SMU to handle. And I like TCU to win by around like 10 to 14 points, I guess.
100%. I think TCU covers as well. And like I said, that TCU run defense is pretty good. And SMU's run the ball really, really, really well this year. And it's been a good, stable facet of their offense, especially for Jennings. Not just in the UNC game, but I know everyone saw the UNC game. This TCU defense is really good at forcing turnovers. And Kevin Jennings has a turnover problem. So I think that's really going to flip this game. I think it'll be fun, Eventually, TCU might take like a 14-point lead, and they'll just be back and forth. But eventually, guess if as I think TCU will win the turnover battle, and that'll give them a double-digit victory.
I like that.
All right, Jackson Arnold's return to Norman, number 22 Auburn. going to number 11, OU. Oklahoma is a touchdown favorite in this game. John Mateer looking like possibly a Heisman can looking like a Heisman candidate, possibly the Heisman favorite. Think we might have had some technical difficulties, but like I said, Auburn heading to Oklahoma. Oklahoma is a touchdown favorite. Jackson Arnold's return to Norman. Dylan, how are we seeing this one?
I really like Oklahoma on this one. I think Auburn's offense is way too one-dimensional. They're just passing attack is not there, and Auburn's pass defense has been really suspect so far this season. And I think John Mateer is just too much of a problem. I think he'll have no problem scoring on this Auburn defense. And I don't know if Jackson Arnold's going to be able to handle the Oklahoma crowd and his homecoming. I think they're going to get after him a little bit.
Yeah, the biggest problem for Auburn is they can't run the ball.
No, they can't
Ball
pass
is,
it.
well, they also can't run, and especially against this Oklahoma defense, I anticipate that they won't be able to do it at all. And as long as the Oklahoma defense makes Arnold throw to win the game, that's what they're gonna do. And I don't think he's gonna be able to make the plays to lead Auburn to victory. So yeah, I like Oklahoma a lot in this game. I think they cover fairly easily. All right. Our next game. Some are saying it's the biggest game of the Dylan Raiola Matt Rhule tenure in Nebraska. But Michigan is heading to Nebraska. Nebraska is a 2-point underdog right now. Big quarterback matchup, Bryce Underwood and Dylan Raiola. Probably Raiola's. While he's had bigger games, this is probably the most important in terms of season-wise to prove that they're here.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, this is a huge game for Nebraska and Matt Rhule. Dylan Raiola has looked very strong, at least statistically so far this season. They haven't really played anyone, but Bryce Underwood, he's had some breakout moments, but I mean, we saw his struggles on the road whenever he played Oklahoma, and I think Nebraska Stadium is going to be absolutely slammed for this one. So I like Nebraska here. I like Nebraska to win outright.
Yeah, I'm gonna agree with that pick. The Nebraska receivers, while they got some hype in the offseason, I think they've been even better than their expectations. And Raiola, he's had some issues this year. He's got to just hit his guys. I think he hasn't been as decisive as he can be. But with this Michigan secondary, he'll get those chances, and he just needs to take them. On the other side. I can't remember his name, but the Cincinnati quarterback ran all over this Nebraska defense, and we've seen the plays that Bryce Underwood can make. So I'm really interested to see how Nebraska game plans for him, because I think he does have the opportunity to flip this game. It's going to be a real quarterback duel, which I'm really excited for. At the end of the day, Nebraska's at home. This is year three of Matt Rhule. You know what they say about year three. So I think he gets this big win. Nebraska's 4-0. A lot of momentum heading into the rest of conference play.
Yeah, I like that call a lot.
All right. We're not really gonna talk about this game that much because we don't know if Lenoris is playing. It would have been an awesome matchup if he was, but South Carolina is going to Missouri this weekend. They were 13.5 point favorites, and now they're 9.5 point favorites. Shane Beamer said that he said that they've always been, if you don't play, you don't practice Tuesday or Wednesday, you don't play in the game. Lenoris didn't practice, but on Wednesday night, they came out and said that he is questioned for the game. And I think he is practicing today. So we'll see, but it doesn't look like he's going to play. But just wanted to include that. Dylan, any thoughts?
Yeah, I think if Lenore, like you said, if Lenore's is playing this game, it would be a lot more entertaining. But without him, I mean, Missouri's been looking really good, especially offensively. And I think they would steamroll South Carolina, especially at home, if Lenore's isn't playing. Just what because w watching their team without Lenore's against Vanderbilt last week, I mean, they got steamrolled.
100%. I mean, he is their offense. He is almost their whole team. But yeah, if he plays, keep an eye on this game. I think it should be good. All right. Miami at Florida. Florida 7.5 point underdogs. I mentioned it before. I don't know why Florida hasn't run the ball more this year. They're finally playing a good run defense though, so now is probably isn't the week to start. And like that, it's for this game's pretty simple to me. I just don't see a game script where Florida, an offensive game script where Florida is able to put up 20, 30 points. Because if they just let DJ Lagway run free like he did last week, he might throw another five interceptions. So I'm all over Miami this week. It's one of my best bets. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I think this D front for Miami is just too good. I think it's just going to be too much for DJ Lagway, who's already turnover prone. So I'm expecting a few more interceptions by the Miami defense and for their defense to carry them in this one.
Yeah, 100%. I think like we saw how strong this Florida defense is. Like they have the talent. So but like you know Beck has played against SEC defenses before. I don't think it's gonna be a straight steamrolling. It might not be like 45 to 10. I think Miami might struggle a little offensively, kind of like LSU did last week. But yeah, like I said, I don't see Florida finding a way to score.
I see, yeah, I see Miami winning by like, I'm gonna go like 14. That's my guess.
Yeah. Moving on, Arizona State at Baylor. Baylor's -2.5. This game is also not simple, but kind of straightforward. Sawyer Robertson, he has taken a huge jump. He like just shout out Sawyer Robertson, man. He has been balling this year. And you know, we saw what Mississippi State and Blake Chapin did to this Arizona State secondary. So I think Sawyer Robertson is gonna have a day. I think he's gonna toss it like he has been all season. And I think Arizona suffers another tough loss. Arizona State, sorry.
Yeah, I agree. Baylor's passing game is pretty elite for the Big 12. And ASU is coming in with some confidence, given that some of their playmakers that are stepping in for injured starters are actually making some plays. But I got Baylor winning and covering in this one. I just don't see ASU stopping Sawyer Robertson at home. And also Baylor's ability, they've been really good on third downs in red zone defensively. So, yeah, give me Baylor.
All right. Final game, number 9, Illinois at number 19, Indiana. Indiana 6.5 point favorites. I'm really excited for this game. You know, a true Big Ten mid-tier nitty-gritty battle. And you know, maybe we could see one of these teams competing with Oregon, Ohio State, and Penn State this year potentially. But this is the game for at least in the early part of the season for both of these teams. That'll kind of dictate how their season goes.
Yeah, I completely agree with this statement. I think this game's ginormous for both teams and for their Big Ten championship quest.
Yeah, my big question is going to be, can Indiana's front seven stop the run? And if they can, then I do lean Indiana. But you know, Luke Altmyer, like he got $2 million, $3 million offers to go to SEC schools this year, and he wanted to stay. He wanted to stay with his coach. This is another great coaching matchup as well. Honestly, I because the point spread has shifted to 6.5, and it's a decent amount of points. I will take. I'm going to take Illinois +6.5. But in terms of the game result, I don't really know. It's too close to call for me, but I'm really excited to watch.
Yeah, I'm really excited for these two quarterbacks to battle it out, Luke Altmyer and Fernando Mendoza. I really like Fernando Mendoza personally. I really liked him at Cal. I really liked how he's looked all year so far for Indiana. I know they haven't really played anyone, but he's just a gamer. And Illinois's been dominant as well, but they haven't played much either. So I feel like we said before, this game will say a lot about both of these teams. Indiana is missing their starting running back, Lee Beebe Jr., for the rest of the season, which really affects their rushing attack, but I like Indiana in this one, and I think they're going to cover as well. I think it's going to be something like
Wow.
30 to 21.
27 to 31.
30 to 21.
Oh. Yeah, I just, in my opinion, I can't imagine that Illinois doesn't keep it close. But speaking of that, I'm gonna hop right into my best bets. And my first pick is gonna be, I might, okay, well, I just said it. I might swap it out, but Illinois plus 6.5 for all the reasons I just said. I trust the coach. I trust Luke Altmyer. Not to necessarily win the game, but to at least keep it close. Dylan.
Yeah, my first best bet is going to be John Mates here over 1.5 passing touchdowns. This Auburn secondary has shown struggles against the pass, and I just think that that's a layup line right there.
Yeah, I like it. My next best bet, we talked about it earlier, Miami minus 7.5. Like I said, I'd be really shocked if Florida scores more than 17 points in this game. And I trust Carson Beck. He's got emerging stars at wide receiver. So yeah, give me the Canes minus 7.5.
Okay, and then my next best bet is Nebraska plus 1.5. We already covered that game. I just think this is too big of a game for Matt Rhule to lose, and I think the Nebraska crowd's going to be behind them in this one.
Yeah, I like it. My final best bet, the first game we talked about, Utah minus 2.5. I'm really excited to watch it, but I trust Kyle Whittingham and I trust that defense.
And my last bet is going to be West Virginia at Kansas over 55.5. I think that these are just two dynamic offenses going at it, and I think that line's too low for that game. I really like the over in that one.
I like it. Yeah, what I was gonna say, I might end up switching Illinois plus 6.5 with the OU spread 6.5. We'll see though. We'll see how I feel come kickoff.
Yeah. Plus, you got anything else you want
I think this might be our first ever episode where we didn't mention Texas at all. Not once. So landmark episode for the eye test.
to
That might just show you just how depressed the Texas fan base is right now. But yeah, that's one thing I noticed.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it so we're not going to talk about them exactly to prove his point. But yeah, anyways, make sure to get those bets in by 12 o'clock Eastern. I'm not I know we have fans in other time zones, so I'm not going to say 11 a.m. anymore. But yeah, get your bets in, eat a good breakfast, turn on Big Noon, watch the Utah Texas Tech. It'll be a great game. And as always, stay safe in the student section.